We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Lachson Learn, Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Leah ben Abba and Leah ben Avraham, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are jumping off of the Mishnah that we saw last week. As we indicated last week, the next Mishnah, the one we're doing today, is going to be stated by the same person, and it's going to be perhaps a related topic. So we'll reread last week's Mishnah, just in case we forgot about it, or just in case we weren't here, and then we'll jump into this week's Mishnah and try to understand it in more depth. So the Mishnah says as follows, this is source A, Rabbi Shmuel beno Omer, Rabbi Shmuel, his son says, HaChosech atzmo min adin, someone who refrains from judgment, Korek mimenu eva v'gazel v'shvua shav, he rids himself of enmity, robbery, and false swearing. So the first part of the Mishnah from last week seems to be indicating that it's good not to sit in judgment. And we analyze what that means. After all, there's a mitzvah of judging. Perhaps let's just go with Rashi for now, that it means that if you're a judge, that you should try to create a compromise before you actually sit down in a courtroom. Go back to last week for some more explanations. The next part of the Mishnah says, "Va'gas libo b'hara'ah, shota rasha v'gas ruach." Somebody who becomes arrogant or presumptuous when giving a judicial decision is foolish, wicked, and arrogant. Okay, so it's not a good idea to be gas libo b'hara'ah. The next Mishnah, the one we're going to be focusing on today, is the same author, Hu Haya Omer. It's the source B. He used to say as well, "Al tehi dan yechidi." You should not judge alone. Why not? So he gives us an explanation. So why would you say, before we see his explanation, why would you say not to judge alone? Let's assume we're talking to an actual judge here. Why should you not judge alone? Meaning, why should you not be the only judge sitting and judging?
Maybe you don't get blamed.
Okay, maybe you don't get blamed. Okay, good.
Shouldn't have absolute power.
You don't want to, right? Good. Why? So elaborate on that. What's the problem with having absolute power? What's the problem with judging alone?
It corrupts.
So maybe you'll get more arrogant, or maybe just simply, if you're judging alone, what do you have a more likely chance of happening?
Making a mistake.
So don't judge alone. But that's not the explanation that he gives. That's not the explanation. Look what he says. She'ein dan yechidi ela echad. There is only one that judges alone. And who is that, presumably? It's talking about Hashem, presumably. Not all commentators are going to read it that way. But God is the one who judges alone. We as human beings do not judge alone. So what we're going to have to see is this a halachic statement? Or do we actually... do we say that you can't be a judge in a court case if you are the only one there? Do you need multiple judges to sit on a court case? Is that factually correct? Or is it just a good idea? And if it is just a good idea, then what exactly is his explanation and how do we get around that? Fine. So that's the first part of the Mishnah that we'll see in the commentator soon. The second part of the Mishnah is, Ba'al Tomar Kiblu Daiti, Shehein Rishayin V'lo Ata. And do not say, presumably, let's assume he's talking to judges as well, do not say, kiblu daiti, accept my view. For they are free, but not you. Shehein rishayin v'lo ata. They can choose whatever they want, and you can't force them. So you can't force them to follow what you're trying to say. So presumably, who's he talking to? Don't say, kablu daiti. So what's a simple way of reading this? I just told you, don't judge alone. So now you're going to be judging, let's assume, with three judges, because you can't have an even number. So let's say I'm still, okay, I'll listen to you not to judge alone. But I'm still the best, I'm still awesome, I'm still amazing, these guys don't know what they're talking about. So I'm going to say, listen to what I have to say, kablu daiti. So don't do that. Don't abuse your influence, don't abuse your power, don't think you're so great that everybody should have to listen to you. That's a simple way of reading the Mishnah. As we continue and go on, we'll see some more complicated and nuances for both of these, both in terms of not judging alone, because God is the only one who judges alone, and not to force our opinions onto others. We'll see if there are messages that are relevant to us, even though we ourselves, perhaps most of us here, are not actually judges. Okay, so let's start with analyzing the concept of judging alone. So are you allowed to judge alone, halachically? He's telling us don't do it. Is that good advice, or is he saying that no, you're not allowed to judge alone? So the starting point for this discussion is source number one. It's right underneath where we left off. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. So Gemara says as follows. You have it in the Aramaic on the right-hand side and the English translation with a commentary from Svaria.org. Notice that the bolded in the English is what's actually would be an exact translation of the words, and the unbolded is the added added words within the sentences that the editors threw in there to make the sentences flow in English. Right? If you just had a direct translation without added words inside, you wouldn't be able to read it like a sentence. So there's the bolded is the actual translation, and the unbolded is the are the words that are added for understanding. So let's jump in here. Source number one, Tana Rabbana. The sages taught in a brisa. Dine mamonos bishlosha. So a case of monetary law are adjudicated by three judges. You need three. Seems to be the rule. But the imhaya mumcha l'rabim. Let's say I'm an expert. And everybody knows I'm an expert. Dan afilu yechidi. You're allowed, if you're an expert, to be the single judge on a case. Okay, that's against our Mishnah. So the Gemara continues, Amar of Nachman, kigon ana dan dine mamonos biyachidi. So Rav Nachman claims and proclaims to everybody, I am such a mumcha, I am such an expert, that I can do this by myself. I can be the single judge in a court case. V'chen Amar Rav Chia, kigon ana dan dine mamonos biyachidi. So Rav Chia and Rav Nachman both claim that they are such experts that they can judge cases on their own. What's the problem? What about our Mishnah? So let's see. There might be some level of arrogance in what they're saying. I would let's judge them favorably, as we'll get to towards the end of our shiur, and assume that this isn't arrogance, it's just a statement of fact, meaning it's not arrogant to say that I am the number one top judge in the world if I am literally the number one top judge in the world. I think I've shared with you the story that there was a rabbi in England who was an expert judge, and he was brought to in a secular court to testify, and the judge asked him, is it true that you are the foremost expert in Jewish law in the country? And he said yes, and the judge said to him, well, doesn't it say in your law that you should be humble? So the rabbi said, yes, Your Honor, but I'm under oath. Okay. So it might not be arrogance per se, if that's actually the truth, to say that I can do this because I know everything and people accept me as being a Dan Yechidi. But our real problem is, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah states explicitly you shouldn't do this, and here we have examples where it's allowed. And then two people say, I actually do it. Yeah.
Well, do the two parties have to agree that it can only be one judge?
Yeah. It would have to be agreed upon by the people that it would be one judge. So we'll see that in a moment. Or maybe we will. We're not going to get too much into the halachic discussion. Mm-hmm. Let's look at source number two, Tosfos here. It says, Kigon ana dan dine mamonos biyachidi. So he quotes our Gemara, like I who can judge monetary cases alone. Source number two. V'hadit non b'mesechas avos. What about our Mishnah and Avos? Alti dan yechidi. Shein dan yechidi ela echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Tosos here helps us out actually and says that what does it mean dan yechidi? He says explicitly it means God. Our Mishnah does not say it means God. So Tosos says, look in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you can't judge on your own. The only one who judges on his own is God. So the Gemara answers, so Tosfos answers, Eitza Tova K'mashmalan. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is giving us good advice. It's good advice. It's not a law that you can't judge alone. It's good advice. Don't judge alone. But if you don't want to follow that advice, for whatever reason, you don't have to follow the advice. If you remember, this brings us back all the way. I think we're up to Shir 98. This brings us up to Shir 1. In Shir number 1, we discussed what the scope of Pirkei Avos is Pirkei Avos meant to be law, or is it meant to be just good advice? And what the balance, or what the distinction? Maybe it's a false distinction between what law and good advice is. But here Tosfos is making a distinction that it's not actual law; it's just good advice. It's an Eitza Tova, Shlo Yita. So what's the reason? What is Tosfos' reason that you shouldn't judge alone? What's the good advice? Shlo Yita. So you don't make a mistake. Again, that itself is an explanation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah says the only one who judges is God. Tosos is saying, or is the Yechidi. Tosos saying is that that's God, and Tosos saying is that that's not even the real reason. The reason you shouldn't judge alone is in order that you don't make a mistake. And now the second line in source number 2, Vahad Amar Kigon Ana. So what about these rabbis who said that they do it alone? So why aren't they following the good advice of Pirkei Avos? Hainu Kilomar Yacholadun Vlosha Hayadan. So he says, number one, they're not saying they did it, they're saying they could do it. I know I'm an expert that I could theoretically judge by myself, but I'm still not going to do it because the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos recommends that we don't do it. Inami. Right, so the Mishnah came first. So he can't go against the Mishnah, but if the Mishnah is just good advice, he could go against it. But even then, they're not going to go against the good advice of the Mishnah, according to this answer of Tosfos. They're going to—he never judged alone, but in theory, he could al pi din. According to the law, he could judge alone. So that's one answer. The second answer Tosfos gives is inami rogil haya bedinin veinlach l'shem yita. Tosfos is saying, no, maybe what we're saying is that there are exceptions to this rule, and that if somebody is such an expert and they're so fluid and they know everything and they're not going to make mistakes, and we know they don't make mistakes, then that's okay. Then they sort of graduated from only from being with three, and now they can do it on their own. So maybe we're not sure within Tosfos, and towards at the end of the day, should a judge ever get to the point where they say, I'm good enough to judge alone? And in the poskim, in the halachic commentaries, there's arguments about this. Some say that that you could judge alone, assuming that the parties both agree that you are their singular judge. Others say, no, you shouldn't, even if they agree, and even though it's technically not a problem, we're not so pious, we're not so awesome, we're not so amazing, that we think we can do it on our own, and therefore nobody should ever judge on their own. That seems to be, from my brief look into the commentators, what the halacha is that we try not to judge alone because of this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that suggests against it, even though technically, according to halacha, you're allowed to. Okay, good. So in the case of Mitzora, one Kohen is allowed to make the decision. As we'll see, it'll bring me to the end of this, when we get to the end, maybe we'll flip back to what I'm going to get to, a moral point that we should all reflect on, not just as judges, but a point taken for now, that there are cases where the Kohen judged alone, but that wasn't monetary, that was, for ritual, might be a little bit different. Okay, good. Let's keep going. Source number 3, Pirkei Moshe. Pirkei Moshe says, Va'achar asher hiniach haros hanimshachos lemi shalibo gas behora. So Pirkei Moshe is connecting the previous Mishnah to our Mishnah. The previous Mishnah just left off by saying that it is bad to be somebody who is arrogant when they go into judgment. Va'tobos hanimshachos lechosech asmo minadim. And there's better outcomes for somebody who avoids going into judgment in the first place. That's our previous Mishnah. Mishum sheyesh lomar sheyomar sheim atzaso zos shava lekol lomdei haTorah. Im kein Torah matihe alea umiyadun es deinenu veichamu razal shadan din emes lamito nasa shutuf laKodesh Baruch Hu. Alkein, I'll translate in a second. Alkein hu ba'atzmo haya omer lershom haderech hanos lo mishuras hadin rak mitzad eitz haTova. Shaderech hanachon b'dayonos, who the best way when it comes to judgment, shelo yedan yechidi, don't do it alone, l'shelo yikashal b'shum echad me'ashlosha dvarim ha'nizkar. So he's saying basically that, listen, I just told you stay away from judgment, but at the end of the day, we need judges, so what are you going to do? So I'm giving you an eitzah. In order to avoid the problems of what being a judge does, what are the problems that being judged does, we'll see in a second. So in order to avoid those problems of being a judge, remember from what is it? Eva, Gezel, and Shvua Shav. So people are going to hate you. You're going to force people to do things unethically when it comes to money, to steal from each other. And Shvua Shav, they're going to take false oaths. So in order to do that, we want to set the system up. We can't just say, don't judge. We need judges. So the way to avoid these problems is to not do it alone. Right, lishomer v'limalis minatos. In order to avoid making a mistake, that's why you need three. V'u omro, hu haya omer, al tidan yechidi. I avoid judging not completely, but I avoid judging on my own. This gets back to what somebody said before, I think it was Freda, that one of the problems is if I judge by myself, what's the Eva? Somebody's going to hate me. Who's going to hate me? The guy I judged against. So now if I have three people, then he can't hate me. He doesn't know that it's diffused, right? It's a he can't just hate me. He hates all three of us. But it's less intense. The kilo yada mihu amachayev umi amizakik shea din begimel. He doesn't. Maybe I said he didn't have to pay, and the other two said he does it. So he doesn't know. So he can't hate me. Barehu porik menu eva. So therefore he takes away the hatred. V'chein gezel v'shvua shav, and he also takes away the stealing and the false oaths. Kimovad sheina avon toloi bo levado. So number one, he says it's a diffusion of sin also. So let's say the person I as the judge. Now that I have three of us, but let's say I, as a judge, force this person to take an oath, and that oath was false, even though we said last week, I didn't make him take a false oath, I just make him take an oath, it's really his responsibility, but I'm somehow responsible because I set up the system in a way that he was going to take this oath, that he was going to lie, so I have some culpability for that. Well, now that culpability is spread out between three, so we're all a little responsible, so I have less sin on my tab. But he says more, most importantly, forget about all those other side points, is that I have a better chance of getting at the truth. I have a better chance of getting at the truth if I have all three. So, because the judges are going to discuss it with each other and make sure they come to a correct conclusion. So just briefly summarizing the Pirkei Moshe, what he's saying is that this Mishnah is jumping off of the last Mishnah. The last Mishnah said, don't judge because of all the negative consequences. Oh, what about the fact that we need judges? Okay, here's your solution. Judge with three, and all of the problems that we stated in the previous Mishnah will be watered down. They're not going to be as big of a deal. They're not going to hate you as much. You'll get less sin. And most importantly, you have less chance of making a mistake if you have all three. So this is his advice. Again, it's not the actual physical law that we have to follow if necessary in exceptions. You don't have to follow this in historical precedents from Chumash or whatever. It doesn't have to be followed this way. It's just his advice in order to avoid the problems of what came in the previous mission. Yeah, Freddie. Yeah, well, that's the second half of the Mishnah to try to help avoid that. So we'll hopefully get that to that in a moment. Yeah. Right. There are rules about how the justice system works. You go through the Gemaras and Sanhedrin, etc. You can see in the Mishnayos there. You can see the exact rules. I have one of my professors now, colleague Professor Eliezer Schnall at YU, wrote an article once on the. About the Sanhedrin and groupthink. So groupthink is the concept where people sit in the room, you basically tend to end up coming to the same conclusions. It's a problem in business, it's a problem in politics, that you have, especially if you have one leader who everybody wants to sort of say yes to, that everybody sort of conforms to their opinions. So he wrote an article showing how the laws in court, in Jewish court, are set up to avoid that from happening. Okay, so I can send that to you if you're interested. Okay, let's keep going. Source number four. Do you have something?
The question is, if there's three or more judges, the total majority rule, does that make 100%?
For Dine Mamonos, for civil cases.
Getting majority.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now, let's go to source number four, the Maharal. The Maharal is going to give a powerful idea here that's going to focus on something that we haven't focused on yet, and that is, if until this point, both Tosfos and the Pirkei Moshe said the reason, the essential reason why you shouldn't judge alone is because, according to the Tosfos and Pirkei Moshe, because you make a mistake. Notice, remember, as we pointed out, that's not stated in our Mishnah. The reason why you shouldn't judge alone in the Mishnah is because Hashem judges alone. So now, let's understand that a little bit better. So the Maharal is going to help us out here in source number four. So Yesh Lishol, Shayalo Lomar She'ein Dan Yechidi Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lama Amar She'ein Dan Yechidi Ela Echad. So we ask the first question. If your point is that there's only one who judges alone and that's God, then state that explicitly. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Ein Dan Yechidi Ela Echad. Just say, Ein Dan Yechidi Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you mean God, say God. Why avoid using God, explicitly here? So that's question His first question. Hine, gam musar zeh ba lahoros, al shelo yeh gas libo bahora ladun yechidi. So Maral connects it to the previous Mishnah. The end of the previous Mishnah said, don't be presumptuous, don't be arrogant when it comes to judging. So the Maral saying is that it's a similar message. Don't be so presumptuous to judge by your own. Because what are you saying by judging by your own? You're saying, I know what I'm doing, I'm not going to make a mistake. That's presumptuous. Uperush ein dan yechidi ela echad ratzalomar kadosh baruch hu shu echad. So God is the only one, so why does it say echad? Because we're highlighting the fact that he's echad. What does that mean? Umipneshu echad roi lo ladin yechidi. Because God is echad, because he is one, singular, avala adam ein ra'ui she'edan yechidi she'ein ha'adam echad. We are not considered echad. God is echad, people are not echad. The English ol imkein nemar gamkein she'ein la'adam lilmod yechidi she'ein osezeh raka kadosh baruch hu. So now so he says, it's very interesting. He says, if you're going to go take my thesis to the full, is that there's something that God gets the appellation of Echad, and we can't do things that try to emulate the Echadness of God. Because God's Echad, we're not Echad. So Maral says, so now you're going to say, don't learn alone. Because God's Echad, only He can do things that are Echad. Basically, He can't do anything alone. Right? Because God's Echad, that's it. Nothing. Everything has to be done in pairs. No Echads. So obviously that's a ridiculous thing to think about, but it's a good question though, right? So what's the difference? Why is it when it comes to judges we say, according to the Maral's explanation, don't dan yechidi because God is echad and you're not echad, so don't eat yechidi because God is echad and you're echad, don't learn yechidi because God's echad and you're not echad, right? So what's the distinction? So he says, v'imkein kol advarim, continuing the question, v'imkein kol advarim ein l'lasos yechidi, she'en osa zerak ha-kadosh baruch hu, don't do anything alone, because only God is echad. So what's the explanation? Beginning of the fourth line, fourth word on the line, of source number four. 4, 4, 4. Aval, peirush ze, ki ha-din mipneshu din u-mishpat, ein roi shiye ose b'din, rak ha-davar shi roi ligamre l'fi ha-din. Because what's din? Din is justice. When it comes to justice, when it comes to judgment, we want to do things perfectly. We want to follow what's ideal. In an ideal world, yeah, we shouldn't be emulating God's echadness, because God is echad and nobody else is echad. So there's at least one thing that we are going to try as hard as we can to do perfectly, and that's judgment. Because judgment is din. Din is follow the rules. Follow what's ideal. Follow what's right. So by din, we're going to follow God's echadness and not be dan yechidi. Ve'ein roi, continuing, lefi ad-din shiyadun biyechidi rak mishu yachid. When it comes to din, it should only be somebody who is yachid. Aval adam she'enu yachid, ein roi she'edan yechidi. A person who is not echad, he's not yachid, should not judge alone. Kimi acher shu yoshev bedin ein lo laasos bedin davar sheino roi beino din rak yasa akol bedin vizelo shayach v'davar acher. Right. So I think there's two really important points here. When it comes to judgment, it's our ideal. We want to do everything as perfectly as possible. And al pi din, according to strict judgment, in our idealized world, yes, God is the only one who is yechidi, who is echad. We're not echad. We shouldn't do things alone, ideally. Obviously, we can't follow that. We have to do things alone. So there's at least one paradigm that we're going to keep as pristine and accurate as possible, and that's judgment, because judgment is din. Din is din. So when it comes to din, we're going to follow this paradigm of only God can be dan yechidi, and nobody else can be dan yechidi. Now he's gonna hold it for a second because I think he's gonna make the point more powerful in the next paragraph. So va'od yesh lecha ladas ki adayin nikra Elohim. In the pasuk, a judge is called Elohim. A judge is called Elohim, and I'm saying Elohim because it doesn't mean God; it means judge. Elohim, even though we use the same Elohim, the same word Elohim is God. It's the same word. Judge is called Elohim. Now that should all of a sudden your mind should be going here. Judges are called Elohim. V'ksiv ki ha-mishpat le'Elohim hu. Justice is Elohim. So what does it mean justice is Elohim's? So does it mean that justice belongs to the judges? Or does it mean that justice belongs to Elohim? To God. So what you see here is that there's almost a play here on the word that when it comes to the judges are really emulating God. Judges serve as emulating God. Keep going. Lefichach. Ein lo ladun yechidi. So therefore, I have to be super careful if I'm a judge. Because there, you can make a mistake. What's the mistake? If I'm judging alone,
I think I'm God.
Arrogance. I'm told I'm like God, and now I'm doing it alone like God would do it alone? That's dangerous. Sheim Kain, who wrote to Ledamos El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Legamrei Be'elokuso, that you're trying to emulate God in His godliness, which is to judge. Me'achar Sha'adayin Nikra Elokim V'hu Dan V'yachidi K'ilu Hu Haya Elokus Legamrei Shu Echad. It's almost like you're trying to take this power of God's oneness. Only God could judge alone, because if we allowed judges to judge alone, then they will be too close to emulating God, because they're called Elohim, and if they try to do it alone, you're getting too close to God. You're getting too close to that emulation. I'm gonna hold on 1 second. Let's build this one more. Let's build it one more level before we see this. Go to source number 6, the Medrash Shmuel. The Efshar Od Shehizir Ladayin Sheyavin VeYaskil Kel Elokim BaAdas Kel. That a judge has to know that God is with this gathering. V'zeshakas of Alti Dan Yechidi Kolomar Alti Hichoshev Sheata Dan Yechidi. The Medrash Shmuel takes a different play here, but it's a similar concept in the background. He says, don't think that you're judging alone. Don't think that when you're judging, you are judging. Even if you are alone, don't think you're alone. Why not? Because Hashem's with you. God's sitting there with you. You're not alone. You're not alone, and that's empowering. It gives you some level of spirituality in the endeavor. It also gives you some level of confidence and courage, because as we said last week, it's very scary to judge a case when you're choosing whose money is which, and especially if it's capital cases. It's a very scary thing to do. As we said, there's like a pit sitting underneath you that you're ready to fall down if you make a bad mistake. It's a scary thing. Avoid it. No, God's with me. So that's a very empowering concept, but it's also a very humbling concept. This isn't me. I am a messenger of God here. I am God's messenger. So that's the counter to all of the arrogance. Ein dan yachidi ela echad. You are in emulation of God when you are judging. Ideally, and I was going to say this just about judges, but Rachel Weinstein last week, she's not here this week, I'll broaden this perspective, but I think it's very powerful. It's the same thing with kings, right? So use king as a muscle here. God is the melech, and ideally, we don't want humans to be melechs. We don't want human kings, because God is the king. But what can we do? The people wanted it, and maybe there was no other way around it. We needed a king. So God said, okay, have kings. But there are specific rules about kings. And you have to be very careful about this. And you have to be very careful about that. And remember that a king is not any better than anybody else. A king is just as equal to everybody else in terms of he shouldn't feel arrogant over his brethren. Because he is representing God. His job as a melech, he's sort of emulating, paralleling melech basar v'dam, is a parallel to what melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a very daunting task. And there are rules in place, because it's not ideal, because you're too close to emulating how we look at God. It's a very powerful perspective, both in terms of your modeling to everybody else. Everybody's looking at you, and when they see a melech, they're thinking, this is how I view God. Just like a parent, Avinu Malkeinu, right? So Avinu, if you look at a parent, your parent is emulating God too. And the way that a child looks at a parent will help them, hopefully in a positive way, figure out their relationship with God. But that can go negative very quickly if the relationship with the parent isn't well. The relationship with God might have a problem as well, because the paradigm and the modeling for Avinu and for Imenu might be distorted. And it's the same thing with Melech. That our paradigm for Melech, if the Melech doesn't live up to his responsibility, our paradigm of how we look at God can be shattered. So that's a big responsibility. And the same thing can be said for judges. When it comes to judges, ideally, who's our judge? Who's our Dan Yechidi? It's God, because God is the Melech HaMishpat. God is somebody who God doesn't make mistakes when he makes judgments, and God is perfect in his judgment, and he has enough Rahmanas to give to that as well. He knows how to figure out all the judgment perfectly. And here we have human beings who can make mistakes, and they're doing God's work. And that's both empowering and very scary. And it's up to them to realize this balance of, I am with God, God is with me, but I am not God. And I have to make sure that I put into place all of the barriers that were placed, just like with the king, in order to realize that I am not Echad, that's not me. I am not a king, that's not me. God is the king. I'm just a reflection of that. So I have to make sure that I don't get too arrogant and I don't get too godly and too powerful in my position, because being a king and being a judge are both positions that have the power to corrupt. And that's why we have to be extra careful about it. So thank you, Rachel. Say that again.
Does the Medrash Shmuel accept the idea of having a lone judge here in the case then?
Does he accept the idea of a judge?
Case.
Again, the Mishnah. He would presumably, this is another interpretation. He's presumably going to agree that you shouldn't judge alone. And the reason, he'll agree with that. And then in addition, think about this. I don't think it's exclusive that this is the only way to interpret it. Yeah. Sounds right. Okay, good. So that's this. Barry?
So when the Maharal is saying that you shouldn't think that we're not supposed to do anything alone based on the precepts of the Skirmish, the idea is, in fact, that we're probably not supposed to. We have previous Mishnah that the Shekhinah is present when you learn 3, 2, and 1, and it's included one is less favorable. Davening of the Minyan is perfect. Davening of the Yafid. So it is an exception.
Right, so you could extrapolate and say that even though you could daven alone, and even though you could learn alone, it's not ideal. So now the reason why it's not ideal, we might have thought until this point, was because it's good to daven with a minyan, and you have more power with a minyan, and it's good to learn alone. It's good to learn together because more power. But you could extrapolate and say that no, there's also a theoretical problem with learning alone because you're too close to emulating God, even though you're allowed to. It's not as big of a deal as with a judge, but you could read that. I'm not sure. Maybe the Maharal does talk about that somewhere. Rabbi Shiloni, and then one more, and then we're going to keep going. Okay, nice and loud.
When judges are Elohim, it's not the Rabbim, the Rabbim.
Okay, good.
Because if you're not Elohim.
Okay, good. So you can't say so with God you could say Elokai or Elokei, or it's like, but here it's Elokei. By judges it has to be at least plural. Okay, good. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, two questions. Elohim. What does one Yudkevavke and Elohim? One is Midas Arachman, one is Midas Adin. I don't remember which one.
Okay, so it's complicated, but the simple Rabbi Takir gave a shir on this over the summer, and it's a little complicated, but the simple explanation is that Elokim is Midas HaDin and Yudkei Vavkei is Midas HaRachman. It doesn't always fit that way exactly, but that's the general explanation.
The other question,
yeah.
If somebody would have asked me, and I'm surprised unless I mess up in here, if somebody would ask me what this means not to Dan Yechidi, it's because you have a bias. And you have Yitzhakar, you have Yitzhakar, and therefore don't do.
Source number 7. Here we go. Okay. Good segue. I'll pay you afterwards. Okay. Vihine. Source number 7 is on the left side of the page in a text box. The Sefer HaChaim is actually the brother of the Maharal. It's the first time I'm seeing the Sefer. I saw it quoted and then found it inside. It's an interesting commentary. So he says here, Vihine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dan es olamo yechidi. Ma she'ein kein b'dayne basar v'dam. She'ein based in pachos migimel. So God can judge alone. We don't. We need three. Or at least we request three. V'atam. Lefi she'kol adam dan es chaveiro kefi ma she'ola al rucho. Because everybody, when we judge others, it's all based on our thought process. It's all based on the way we think. Vim hu nota achar shum mida garua hu dan gam ken es chaveru achar oso amida. And he says, if I have a bad character trait, so it's often I will project that onto somebody else and then see that bad character trait in the other person, and then I'm going to be biased negatively towards that person. Because I think that he has the same bad trait as me, so I'm going to judge him negatively. If there was three, it's impossible, I guess not impossible, but unlikely, that we're all going to have the same bad trait and then be this, have the same bias against this person. And the fact that I have two other people with me, they're going to be able to ignore or challenge my biases. That's obviously not applicable to God. So God can do it alone. So now he's taking a good transition here. He's taking from everything until this point, we're talking about judges, which the point of biases with judges is important. Don't judge because not just you're not going to make a mistake, you'll be biased against them. And now he's expanding it for us to all human relationships. When it comes to all of us, we are all judges. And because of that, when we're able to judge others favorably, we're showing that we're not being biased. We're trying to remove our biases. And if I'm able to remove my biases, then God will judge us favorably. Okay, so now this is going to be a nice transition into taking from judges to talking about us. When I read this Mishnah a while ago, before looking in the commentaries, I know, a few years ago, and I read it, and it said, that you should not be alti dan yachidi, immediately my mind was probably already primed as a source that we personally, not judges, we shouldn't judge. What does it mean, alti dan yachidi? It basically says, if you interpret it, it means don't judge. Because you are one person who's biased, who has mistakes, who doesn't see the whole picture, has your own flaws. So don't judge Yechidi. Only God can judge. We don't judge. We have no right or capability to judge. So the problem was that when you look in the classic commentaries, they don't talk about this. They don't extrapolate to the personal. The Maharal here, the Maharal's brother is the first one who I saw who does this, who takes at the end, spins it off to a personal approach about judges. And then I found that there's a fascinating Hasidish source on this. So this is a source that's known in Hasidish Sfarim. I saw it in two places, both in the Sfas Emes on the Art Scroll translation of the Sfas Emes on Perkei Avos, as well as the Sefer that I showed you once, if you remember, 2 years ago, when you guys got me a gift card. I went to Eichler's and bought new Perkei Avos Sfarim. So one was a two-volume set on Perkei Avos with Hasidish ideas. Forgot what it's called, and I didn't write it down, so I apologize. I'll tell you next week. But he quotes here a fascinating story. So he says here, this is on the bottom of the page where it seems a little bit darker. It says, HaRav HaKadosh Bal Imre Chaim Mi Vizhnitz Siper. So the rabbi from Vizhnitz said as following, the following story. Shepam Shema'u Kamu Mechasidei HaRav HaKadosh Baal HaOhev Yisrael Mi Aptus. The Apta Rav, the Ohev Yisrael. So they all came and they saw Eich Shaharabanis Omeres Pirkei Avos. So his wife, the Apta Rav's wife, the Rebbetzin, used to say Pirkei Avos. Ve'yos v'hiskasha likro osios ketanos. She couldn't read small letters, and as you know, no big print back then. Everything was very small. Uva'osa shal lo hir kiva es batei neha. She didn't have her glasses on. So she's reading Pirkei Avos, small letters, she couldn't see so well, and she's reading this Mishnah. So ta'asa b'lashon Mishnazu, she made a mistake, and she said, v'amra al tihi dan Yehudi. Don't judge, said of Yechidi, don't judge any other Jew. Don't judge a Jew. V'chaychu ha-chasidim, ha-chasidim smiled. So Nena, O of Yisrael, heard this, And he answered, "Va'amar hatos eno kokach dola." It's not such a big mistake. It's not such a big mistake. Meaning that that's a valid interpretation of our Mishnah. And then the Sefer continues on the left-hand column. Hainu ki achin sarcha adam ladash sha'al yodun ishes chavero achi agilim komo. As we saw all the way back in Perek Bey's Mishnah Hay, you shouldn't judge somebody until you get to their place. And if you remember, we saw in the Sfas Emes there, v'rasham v'resham v'sfas emes shepirish l'olam lo yukhol adam lagilim kom chavero nimsa bo achshav. L'achin al yodun oso l'olam. Right? What does it mean? Don't judge until your place. You're never going to get to his place. How can you possibly fathom where that person came from and all of the genetics that goes into it and the environment and everything that happened to him by his parents and in school and throughout all the trauma that he's... How can you possibly get to that place that you understand where this person's coming from? It's impossible. So basically when we say don't judge a person until you get to his place, what are we saying? Don't judge. Don't judge. Below od el kol yehosha yehudi pimniuso yesbo chelik menu kadat tova, and he says as well is that every Jew has in them a solid status, a solid static, basically not firm, unchangeable, immutable part of goodness to them. But can iyachal aduno solo fi masav achitzonim kishu enu machshel leros maskil leros es atov shabo beemes, unless you can see that part. And this, the Sfas Emes also says, if you remember when it says, Hevedanis kol ha'adam l'kav schus, Sfas Emes says the same thing, is that you have to judge the entirety of the person favorably, because even though this action might have been bad, and you, let's say you knew it was bad, and he told you it was bad, still, at that point, you can't globally evaluate that person as being negative, because internally there's a kedusha, there's a holiness, there's a goodness, and until you understand that, there's no you can't judge anybody. So now take that back. Alti dan yachidi, alti dan yehudi. It's the same idea. Don't judge. Stop judging. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge other people. You have actions that you want to improve. Fine. Do it. You have somebody who's doing something that you don't think is nice. Talk to them about it. That doesn't mean you have to judge them unfavorably. Nicely. Don't judge. It's not our job to judge. It's our job to fix, maybe, to rebuke, sure, if it's responsible and done in a way, as you can go back to our shiurim on assertiveness, great. In terms of judges, don't do it, because you will do it wrong and you will be biased. So flip the page and let us... Is that clock accurate? I mean, besides for it being off by an hour? What? 5 after. Okay, good. So we still have a little more time. Okay, so let's see two more ideas. The top here is taken from a sefer on Perkei Avos. It's a compilation, not of Chassidus Sfarim, but of Musar Sfarim. So it gathers various Musar Sfarim that are written and takes the any time that those Sfarim dealt with Perkei Avos and compiles it in the sefer. So this is a Musar idea from the Saba Mikelm. Vinavi ma shekasav ha-Saba Mikelm. Bizea inyan. Dehine. Amruzal. The Gemara Bava Metzia says as follows. Lo charvi Yerushalayim ela al sheimidu divrei ma'adin Torah. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, I think we mentioned this recently, that the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim was destroyed because they dealt with everything based on just justice, just on judgment. They didn't have any flexibility, no compromise. V'amarnu bizea ki adam inu yachol l'chaven ha'mida al nekuda. So the idea is that people, as much as you want judgment, justice, strict din, people can't do that. We just don't have the capability to be so accurate in everything that we do. So when it says that Moshe says that at about approximately midnight we're going to go out. So the Gemara in Brachos elaborates on this. Says, why does it say kachatzos halayla? Don't we know that at midnight? Why do you have to estimate at around midnight? Say at midnight we're going to go out. So the Gemara says you should always learn to speak in a way that's not definitive, because when you speak definitively, it's just not appropriate midos. Have some humility in the way that you talk and the way that you think. And if somebody's trying to get to, you know, I'm not going to sin, or I'm going to be perfect, I'm going to be exact, you're going to make a mistake. You're always going to think you're right, and the fact that you always think you're right is probably proof that you're not right. V'hu asher amru she'emidu divrayim perish. Svarasam al din Torah. Kalamark ilu divrayim hein din Torah. The people at that time in Yerushalayim, the reason why the Yerushalayim was destroyed is because they thought everything was right. I'm right. I know what the Torah says. I know. You don't know, but I know everything. And I'm exact and I'm right and I know what I'm talking about. Ukeilu kivnu tamid din Torah el hanakuda. They knew exactly, precisely everything that was accurate. V'lachin bevadai shechatu v'lo kivnu din Torah. Then of course they made mistakes, and that's not what the Torah expects of us. Ki adam no geila atzma, because we are biased. And he quotes some other ideas. V'amru zal in Yerushalmi Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Amr Biu. Who's that? Yeshua ben Hananya maybe. Ani eini yodea din Torah. So he says, I don't know din Torah. I don't know it. So we should always be what I call, this is Barry, what I brought, what I'm bringing back to what you mentioned in the beginning, intellectual humility. Right? When it comes to our intelligence, this is the first Psych for Torah that I wrote, last Parsha Tzav, I believe. And it was called intellectual humility because, and it had to do, Parshas, it might have been the second one, Parshas Tazri. The first one was biases of the self, which is relevant to this. Second one was intellectual humility, which talks about the Mitzorah and the problem of thinking that I'm always right. Even in the case of the Kohen, he says, he talks with a little bit of wavering, of hedging. Hedging for humility is what I called it. Hedging for humility. So don't always think and talk like you know everything exactly. You say ka nega nearly. Not the Kohen. The person who sees the nega doesn't say I saw a nega. He says ka nega li. I saw like a nega. Why do you say like a nega? Because I don't know. I'm not the one to judge it, so I can't give you even if I know, I don't know. So that's the point here. Intellectual humility. Alti dan yachidi. Don't think you know everything. Take a little bit of you're, you know, look at other people to see whether or not what you're saying adds up. And then finally, last point. I know there's a lot of good stuff here, but they're all a little bit separately. The final part of the Mishnah is where we said, don't say kiblu daiti. Don't say accept what I have to say. And we generally understand this on the simple explanation is that it's for a judge who is arrogant, thinks, okay, so you don't want me to judge alone, I'll judge other people, but I'm the best, so listen to me. So that's not the way to do it. That's not how to approach it. You have to have some humility as a judge as well. But we're going to broaden the point to not just about judges, but to about everybody. And this is taken from another sefer that I bought with them. And I'm not giving you any hints in terms of more gift cards, but I bought with that those gift cards. So this is Rav Kook's Pirkei Avos. So he says, "V'al tomar kiblu daiti." So he says here, it's very fascinating. This gets to the core of Rav Kook's personality. He says, "Kfias deos himida musaris mikukelas ma'od." Trying to force people to think the way you think is terrible. It's a very bad trait. "V'chol adam she'ein bo es midas ha'hoda ala emes v'chaser hu es midas ha'nava nichshol ba mibli safich." And if you don't have some level of humility and the ability to admit when you're wrong, then you're going to make this mistake. You're going to try to force people into your mindset. "Ki chafetzu tamid shedaito te hashlatas b'chol davar v'inyan." I want my opinion to be the final be-all and end-all of what everybody else thinks. "In bebeso," whether it's in my house, or b'chug achevra, whether it's in my social environment. "V'ini yachol isbol dey ahamis nages l'dayto." And I can't stomach, tolerate anybody else's opinion that's different than me. "Alkein bocher hu b'kfias dayto acherim." So I'm going to try to force you to think the way I think. "Davar zen nachon lefaret v'nachon hu l'chlal, l'prat hu l'chlal." This is true in terms of avoiding this when it comes to specifics or general statements. "Asur l'kvutza misuyemes l'kafos es deoseha l'kvutza acheres she'ena to'emes es rucha v'halichoseha." He broadens it. It's not just about interpersonal relationships. It's about society as well. It is forbidden, he says, for a group of people to try to force their belief systems on anybody else. And he gives a very fascinating example here, where he says here, let's just keep reading this examples in the next paragraph, but let's read the second paragraph. "Kimuvan shekol chayei hachevra v'medina nikba'im al chukim hakofim al bnei adam l'kayem mishtar chevrati u'medini." So he gives you a caveat. He's not being sort of this unrealistic person here. Obviously, society is run by people following rules, right? So you do have to have some, right? Don't force people to not kill people. Well, obviously, you need some level of rules and some level of social coercion. Shilmalezos, Ishus Reo Chaim Blo, as we saw also in Perkei Avos, that without some level of government or laws, then people are just going to destroy each other. So you need some level of forcing and coercion. V'achevra Yisraelis b'prat yesh la'az chukei ha-Torah, shegam him kofim alechas v'derech ha-alacha v'amusar ha-nos. And of course, in Judaism, we have a Torah, and we have to follow the Torah. V'malehem lo te'ek tekuma l'sonayam shal Yisrael chasom. Without the laws of the Torah, we got nothing. Ach kozek kesiha lacha tkifa ve'efshal ha-kuf alechas v'derech ha-Hashem. Ach matzav bo rov ha'am eino holech la'or ha-alacha. That's nice if we're all living in some shtetl and everybody's following the rules and there's one guy who's not following the rules. When most people aren't following the rules, what are you going to do? You're going to force everybody to follow you? B'matzav kezen nidra shiko rav. You got to think about this. Eich la'shpia la'achem ha-toim la'shuv la'chor mechutzav tem. V'lo safek shum kol shal kfiya lo yuchol la'azor el rak la'hefak la'hazik la'hachlish es kocha shal yadus v'atorah ne'ema. And if you think that you can just force people to be frum, you can just coerce people into being religious, you're wrong. You need a new strategy. So take a step back and realize that if you're trying to force rules onto people, halakhic rules, even though we believe in it and we love it and we want people to do it, if you try to force it, it's not going to work. And then he goes on to explain a debate that happened between Hillel Zeitlin and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was more of the old school approach in Yerushalayim of trying to force people into doing things and enforcing the population into following the halachic rules. So there's a little back and forth here in terms of these different approaches about how they approach the specific situation. And then he finishes off with an idea from a Tzvi Yehuda Cook, of Cook's son, where he basically says, forcing people to do anything just doesn't work anymore. And I think that we can apply that both in terms of society, in terms of community, in terms of our family. If you try to force people into doing things, it's going to backfire. Again, this needs some nuance in terms of how old are your kids and what's going on and how are you training them, fine. But at a broad perspective, if you find yourself telling people, just listen to me already, A, you're probably not reflecting that they're not listening to you and that's not making them listen to you. But B, it's time to take a step back. They don't have to listen to you. And if you want them to listen to you, think of a new strategy. And Rav Cook didn't say, okay, they don't have to listen to me because I can't force them, so they don't have to listen to me. Let me give up. What did he do? He approached them with love. He approached them with open arms. And really, that's the approach that I think is appropriate for the most part, you know, with various exceptions, but for the most part, that's the approach we should be taking, both in terms of our families and both in terms of communities and in terms of the broader world, is that open arms, love, there's a place to push away, there's a place to not be tolerant of things, but for the most part, not to force people into thinking anything specific. So just to recap, not a lot of good stuff today. We had the Dan Yechidi, both in terms of primarily in terms of the judges, don't judge on your own. A, because you're going to make a mistake. B, because of it's going to cause fighting, etc. By judging as part of three, now you're diffusing all the problems that can possibly happen. You're not going to make a mistake. People aren't going to not like you anymore because they'll just not like all three of you, or maybe, you know. But that's the in terms of the judges. And we saw the Maharal, who said that the judges are representative of God. And because God is Echad, we can't be Echad when it comes to judges, so we have to stay away from that. And we saw the broader perspective of the Medrash Shmuel, that we represent, that judges represent God, so there's a awe and inspiration to that, but as well as a cautionary tale in terms of judges not becoming arrogant. Then finally we saw in the transition to the second half was the Sefer HaChaim of the Maharal's brother, who said that we can also look at this both in terms of the judges' biases. We all have biases, so judges should be careful about their biases. And then to broaden it out to all of us, we have our biases. And then the mistake of the Abdarav's wife, Dan Yehudi, and the message that's still relevant to us, not to judge at all, the concept of intellectual humility, and then finally not forcing or coercing people into our own beliefs and opinions.